Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. It's the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS, Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you on the radio program. We broadcast from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Gateway, trunk or treat tonight, Doug. Trunk or treat at Gateway Buick GMC, I-270 McDonald Boulevard.
When is that?
Hey, what you finna dress up as the weekend? Hey.
Skeleton, I guess.
Well, because they're most foreboding?
Yeah, I think we figured that out yesterday. If you want to talk foreboding, skeleton is your costume.
Anna Marie's dressing up as Eleven from Stranger Thips.
What?
Say that again for me, please.
11 from Stranger Thips. Anybody watch Stranger Thips?
That sentence doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, you guys are cools. There's no question.
11 from Stranger Thips.
Anybody watch Stranger Things? Plowhawk, I feel like you're my only hope when I look around the room.
I'm soon to be starting it. I've heard good and bad things. I'm trying to get... I had some mixed reviews, but I have nothing to watch.
Who liked it? Reef liked it.
Mason liked it. Mace Dog. The bearded... God, he's one of my best friends of all time.
The Beast Incarnate.
The yes. Bearded God.
Yeah, Mason's the best. And my sister did not like it, and usually I take her advice pretty seriously.
Anna Marie really liked it, and she really likes that Millie Bobby Brown.
My niece raves about it and keeps telling me to watch it, but I see TV 14, so I just kind of think it's...
What's that mean?
It's not filthy enough for
you. No nudity, no cussing, no... Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's any nudity. I don't know who you'd really want to see.
Well, I haven't seen the show, so I don't know.
I guess Winona Ryder's in it.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, she's never gotten naked.
Is that right?
She had a nip slip once.
Oh, jeez.
There it is. It's like having a live Mr. Skin.
You know about every actress?
Joining us right now on the appliance discounter phone lines, ladies and gentlemen, from OutKickTheCoverage.com, Fox Sports Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Clay Travis. Morning, Clay.
Hey, how are y'all?
Very good. Have you watched the show Stranger Things? I know you're into all kinds of different TV shows.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely love it. I think it's a fantastic show.
Yeah. My wife's going to be 11 for Halloween. That's why we were discussing it. So you enjoyed the program?
Yeah, there's nothing like having a green adult woman dressing up as an 11-year-old girl.
Yeah, Doug, do you find that to be creepy?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit weird. Yeah.
A little bit.
We'll extend the counseling sessions this week then.
Okay.
When you try to sleep with her after you guys get drunk, you're going to feel like a pervert.
Okay, no.
More than a pervert than normal, I think.
Yeah, I can't get hard. Clay, you endorsed,
check, please.
You endorsed Gary Johnson yesterday. Elaborate on your reasoning, sir. Because, hey, I was announcing our guest list today, and people said, oh, why are you going to have that hardcore? Well, hell, it was both. Why are you going to have that hardcore Democrat on? Why are you going to have that hardcore Republican on? I'm like, I don't really think he's either, to be honest with you. We've talked with him enough to kind of know. Didn't you work for a Democratic senator when you were interning in D.C. in the late 90s, right?
Yeah, I used to work in Democratic politics. Yeah. But as I've aged, I have become, I think, even more. Like some people, you know, as they age, they get more convinced that they're right about everything. I moderate, you know, so I was, you know, a lot more liberal as a young guy than I am now. I also think the Democratic Party has moved in kind of some intriguing directions anyway. I worked on Al Gore's 2000 presidential campaign. I worked on the Hill for a Democratic congressman. I've worked in Democratic senatorial campaigns. And this year I'm voting for Gary Johnson. Who is the Libertarian candidate. I just personally don't find either Trump or Hillary to be very likable. I find myself to be a very middle-of-the-road guy, and I don't think either the Republican or the Democratic Party is reflecting kind of my perspective. I tend to be a socially liberal guy, but a fiscally kind of conservative guy. Look, I'm a business owner. I make paychecks and make payroll and everything else, and you know, I've done that. So I think my perspective has kind of changed as I've gotten older, and I'm voting for Gary Johnson. People who say, oh, you're wasting your vote, I disagree. First of all, I live in Tennessee, and Donald Trump's going to win my state, so the Electoral College means that I don't really have that much of a at stake anyway. But I think you waste your vote when you vote for somebody who doesn't reflect the majority of what you believe. And I think that's representative for me of both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump right now. I'm not trying to tell other people how to vote, but I spend a lot of time talking about politics on OutKick and on the OutKick show. And I think I owe it to people to not, you know, claim that I'm entirely unbiased and then try and not tell people who I vote for. So that's what I'm going to do when I step into the ballot box or the voting booth on November 8th.
Was this something that you had been going back and forth on, or is this where you were and you just decided to announce it yesterday?
You know, I went back and forth. I mean, I watched all the debates. I watched everything. You know, I think if I had to choose between Hillary and Trump, first of all, I would not be very happy with having to make that decision. But I think Hillary's probably less likely to be a disaster. And I almost feel like if you have to choose between the two, you're at this position with this election, you're voting on who's least likely to be a disaster. And I think Hillary Clinton, not to mean that Hillary Clinton is not going to be a disaster, because I think she could be a disaster. But I think Donald Trump has more disastrous capabilities. I like to think about it in terms of like a sports recruit. Donald Trump could be like a really good president, or he could be an awful one. Like his than anything else. Like he could be a one on the political scale of 1 to 10, or he could be like a 7. You know, I think Hillary Clinton is going to be somewhere between a 4 and a 6. She's not going to be great. She's not going to be awful. Half the people are going to hate her. The other half are not going to hate her. And I think she's going to win the election. So I'm just hopeful she doesn't screw things up too much. Like, just don't do anything, right? Like, that's kind of my position on the president right now. I think the country's going fairly well. Just don't F it up. You know, just don't screw things up too bad.
Don't you think most people are in the middle? And I meet a lot of people that would say they're more socially liberal, more conservative on economic issues, yet our political system does not reflect that. If most people are in the middle, and we usually end up with the person running as a Democrat trying to get to the left to get through the primary, same thing goes for the Republicans and the right. How did we get here?
Yeah, I think that's my position in general, and that's why I'm voting for Gary Johnson. You know, I think that we've allowed the radical right and the radical left to overtake this country and try to make it seem like there's more divisiveness than there actually is. And so that's why I've started to call myself a radical moderate. Like, I think we need people who are middle of the road, who are as aggressive in their opinions as people who are on the two polar extremes of the parties. And I think it's like most things, like, the people who complain the most and create the most drama get the most attention when the vast majority of us are kind of sitting in the middle. I think there's, you know, 30% that are hardcore Democrats. I think there's 30% that are hardcore Republicans. And that leaves the majority, or 40% of us, somewhere in the middle. And I think it would be, the country would be better served if that 40% had a larger voice and the two extremes on the opposite sides of the political spectrum had a smaller one.
I would have thought if ever the country was ready for a real third-party candidate that had a shot at it, this would have been the year. And apparently it's not going to happen. Johnson's numbers keep going down. You think that'll ever happen where somebody can run as an independent and have a reasonable shot?
I don't think Johnson ran a good campaign.
Yeah.
And I just don't think he's done that well. I'm voting for him because he believes a lot of the things I believe, not because I think he's been an incredible political candidate. You know, back in 92, Ross Perot made a legitimate run and snagged a lot of support. And I do think that there's the possibility that at some point in the future, this year would have been a good one. I think if Mayor Bloomberg had run, he would have had a lot of appeal. But I do think that at some point, the way things work, I think the mechanism of the party structure matters less now. It's easier to get your message out than it ever has been before, and things can go viral. You know, like Uber didn't exist 5 years ago, and now it's a $100 billion company. The network effect matters, and I think Gary Johnson could have tapped into that discord that exists in the country, and he just didn't hit it. And I think that's because he had a couple of goofs. He wasn't that plugged in for the foreign policy questions. He didn't know about Aleppo. Like, but there are a lot of things that he could have done better to kind of galvanize his momentum. You know, I think that by voting for him, and again, I'm just telling you what I'm doing, but I think by voting for him, I'm sending a message to the Republican and the Democratic parties as well that they are not reflecting what someone like me cares about. And I would like to think that if a large percentage of people do that, that at some point somebody in the Republican or Democratic Party is going to say, hey, wait, there's this large group of people that we're not addressing in the middle. Or, like you said, somebody out there is a middle-of-the-road candidate. Maybe it's a guy like Mark Cuban, who is more of a business person than a politician, will come in and try to fix what's going wrong in the country today. Like, I have a lot more faith in American business right now than I do American politics. And I would like to see more business people, and Trump's not the perfect example of this, but I would like to see more people in business having an impact in politics.
Clay Travis, our guest on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. You know, this is the first time in, I think, 17 years, Clay, that around these parts we won't have either the Cardinals in playoffs in October or Missouri in the top 25 in college football. 17 years. You got to go back to 1999, I believe, is the last time that happened. So politics certainly has gone center stage just because there isn't a whole lot going on with the Rams having moved and the Blues just starting up the season. Missouri's situation, though, doesn't necessarily seem like it's one where they're, you know, at a low point. Because of what took place last November, combined with the product on the field, yesterday news that Michael Scherer and Terry Beckner are most likely done for the season. In Beckner's case, Scherer for certainly done with his career at Missouri. That is a real disaster down there. What is your impression? I realize you're not monitoring Missouri football real closely because they're irrelevant, but what is your impression of the situation in Columbia?
Well, I think Barry Odom's a good guy. And I think he came into a really difficult situation because of the continuing fallout of the protest. And by the way, the protest fallout is not just impacting, obviously, the athletic department. It's impacting the entire university. Enrollment's down. Revenue is down. You know, people are doing what they do in a capitalistic society. They're voting with their pocketbooks. And they are saying that they don't like the way that Mizzou handled that entire situation. And a lot of fans are making the decision not to go to Mizzou athletic events. I mean, the attendance has been down substantially, not all attributable just to the fact that the team is not that good. There are just less people going to the games in general. And so I would like to see Mizzou win. I loved it in Columbia when I've come to visit. We've got a lot of readers. We've got a lot of fans who are regular consumers of what we do at Outkick there. But I think they're just really facing an uphill road. Now, the positives are, I think they got a decent quarterback. And if you got a decent quarterback and he's a young guy, you can build around him for the next couple of years. But I think the challenge Mizzou's going to face is, man, I think they caught the SEC, and I think this is going to be the storyline. All credit to Mizzou for winning the East twice. But I think what you're going to see is they caught the SEC East at a time when it was almost unprecedented to have Georgia, Tennessee, and Florida all kind of kicking can down the road and not being very successful. And I think what you're going to see going forward is that Tennessee is certainly cycling up. Georgia, I think, will be better than they are this year. And I think Florida is going to be pretty good under McElwain. I think the East powers are going to all cycle. Going to find themselves in a really difficult position going forward for several years to come. Now, I will say this. I don't think Vanderbilt's going to be very good. I don't think Kentucky's going to be very good. And South Carolina is clearly not very good either. So at least half the SEC East is not good. And those are winnable games. And, in fact, Missouri's favored to beat Kentucky this weekend, could certainly beat Vanderbilt. And I don't think they played South Carolina yet. They could win those three games. And then the season is not as bad as people might have feared.
I'm already hearing rumblings from people, saying, some fans, some of the media, saying, boy, Les Miles is out there. Maybe he'd make a decent Missouri coach. I mean, it's way too early for that, isn't it? Do you think that a guy like that would even be interested a year or two down the road if things continue to fall apart?
You know, if Les is interested in Purdue, then I would think he'd be interested in almost every job in America, because Purdue's like the worst job in the Big Ten. Missouri's a better job than Purdue by far. Look, I mean, I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he's a decent coach, but it's way too early, I think, if you believe that Barry Odom was your guy in January or December or whenever it was that you announced him as the next coach at Missouri, then there's certainly nothing that I think has happened this year that would make you think he's not the guy now. Look at who Missouri has lost to. Florida's better than Mizzou. You know, West Virginia is undefeated and better than Mizzou. Like, Kentucky, if they had played Mizzou's schedule instead of being 4-3, I think would be 2-5 too. So
Middle Tennessee State, don't forget them.
Yeah, MTSU is not bad. I live obviously in Nashville, so I'm aware of them. Vanderbilt beat them, but look, I mean, they're a pretty good team. I mean, they're going to win 7-8 games, and that's a game obviously that Missouri should have won, but they lost. That's the only one you put on that roster of 5 games, and I think, by the way, MTSU would have beat Kentucky too. So I'm not willing to buy into the idea that MTSU is a bad team. It's not like they went out and lost to a team that's not going to be making a bowl. Should Missouri beat MTSU at home? Yes. Is the fact that they lost, like, debilitating to the program? No.
So you have hope that Barry Odom can get it turned around, because there's a lot of people who've already, unfortunately, I think there's a lot of people who've already kind of given up hope, just kind of watching how they play.
Yeah, I think the question you have to ask is, if Nick Saban was in charge of Missouri this year, what would their record be? 3-4? I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, what would Missouri's record be if they had the best coach in college football coaching them this year? They might not lose to MTSU. And they still might have a loss because, look, that defense is just not very good. But you'd have a one-game difference. So if the best coach in college football would make a one-game difference, I definitely think it's way too early to say that Missouri has totally lost things. And look, that Georgia game, Missouri arguably should have won that game.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, if Missouri beats Georgia, then you talk about a guy who's under pressure. It's not necessarily Barry Odom as much as it is, because people didn't expect Missouri to be that good. Kirby Smart would be like, you know, on the hottest of hot seats already. So
that was a game where a lot of people left scratching their heads saying, wait a minute, what did we just watch? Where you had a Missouri offense running a hurry up offense up by 6 with 5 minutes to go, trying to get plays off as fast as they can, and gave the ball back to Georgia. Then they faced a 4th and 10. Georgia 4th and 10, and Mizzou put 11 guys on defense on the line of scrimmage, and one defender got beaten. And that's when a lot of people left saying, what in the world is going on? Where they really began to question if the coaching staff does know what they're doing.
Yeah, and, you know, it's on the defensive side of the ball that you would think Missouri would be the best right now. And I think, you know, in that situation at the end of the Georgia game, and I'm sure you guys talked about it a great deal, if you drop into coverage and get beat, then everybody says, boy, you really weren't being aggressive and trying to get at Georgia with that young freshman quarterback and bring pressure. And you should have tried to put him under pressure. Of course, if he stands in the pocket against the zone, he can look around. You give him time, he's going to make a throw. So they make a aggressive play and try to force the young quarterback to read the defense and make a rapid decision. And he makes a great throw in the right situation and hits a guy in one-on-one coverage. So, you know, it's one of those situations where you're damned if you do, if you're damned if you don't. If you stop him and sack Jacob Eason there, everybody says, boy, this Barry Odom defense is not going to sit back on its heels. We're going to come after people. And I do think that what happens early in the season impacts games later in the season. So if Missouri beats Georgia, is there more momentum coming out of that? Certainly. But I think you maybe feel a little bit better about Missouri's performance against, let's say, LSU, based on what you've seen LSU do to everybody else since they played Missouri too.
Right.
I think that probably said, it always says a little bit about the team that plays and the team that loses, but I think it probably said a little bit more about LSU than it in that game.
Hey, Clay, how are you doing with your wagering this football season?
Yeah, you know, not as good as I would like, but not awful. I think I'm around 54%, 55%.
That's still pretty damn good, there. Man.
Yeah, you know, we're not bad. I put it out. The picks will be up today at 11 o'clock Central. So when I get back home from doing my morning radio show here, I'll go ahead and put all the picks up. But yeah, like we're not doing bad. I love to gamble, and I love to gamble in particular on college football. And you know, that Mizzou Kentucky game is one that I've already bet on. I took the over. I think there's gonna be a lot of points scored.
Are you enjoying doing the radio?
I'm not enjoying. I don't know what time do you guys get up in the morning?
I get up at 4:30, and I'm kind of used to it. And I like the 2 hours that I have of no phone calls or text messages and just sitting and drinking my coffee. But I realize you're on earlier than we are. We're on at 7 Central.
Yeah, so I'm on at 5 Central. So I get up at 4 a.m., but I've done obviously a lot of the prep for what I'm going to talk about before I go to bed at night. I think the biggest challenge is just I was a night guy, and I've got 3 young kids. So I've got an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 2-year-old, all boys, and it's kind of a zoo in my house all day long. And when you finally got the kids to bed at night, I would get them to bed at 9 o'clock, by 9 o'clock. You know, they're in bed and hopefully asleep by 9. And then I wouldn't go to sleep till 12:30 or so. So I had like 3.5 hours where the house would slow down. I could sit around and watch late night sports if I want to. Like, I can read. There's not the news cycle kind of slows down. I think the most challenging thing about it for me is I get up at 4 a.m. now, Central Time, every day. And, you know, there's a lot of people who get up early. But, you know, by noon, I've already worked 8 hours. And the news cycle is not stopping, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably the biggest challenge. It's just the news cycle kind of slows down late at night in a way that it doesn't when you get up in the morning and kind of chase the news all day.
Are you altering at all any of the things that you've been doing because now that you've added on the radio show?
You know, I do a lot. Obviously, we do the Periscope and the Facebook show. It's funny. I mentioned that 2-year-old. He and I have like kind of the same schedule now, except he gets to sleep a lot more than I do. We go to bed around the same time. We eat lunch together every day. You know, me and the 2-year-old sit at the island in our kitchen and eat lunch together. And then we a lot of times take naps at the same time. So he goes down for a nap and I go down for a nap. I was worried about that a little bit. I think it'll be easier in many respects when it's not football season, because football season is always just kind of a frenzy. The easiest thing for me about doing the morning radio and doing 5 to 8 a.m. every day is that I don't have to travel now. So, you know, for the last 3 years, I got onto an airplane on every Thursday or Friday and flew to L.A. and then came back on Sunday. And the amount of time that I would spend every week traveling is not that much different than the amount of time I spend talking on the radio. So in some sense, it's a lot easier to know, okay, at least on the weekend, I don't have to be anywhere.
Yeah, I don't blame you on that. That probably isn't a bad thing with the kids to be able to stay in Nashville.
And consider yourself lucky that you're on the same sleep schedule as a 2-year-old, because that will probably change at some point.
Well, I'm also lucky that my kids are in bed early. Like, it would be a lot tougher if I had teenagers and they had later nights and, like, events and everything else. But at this age right now for this morning show, it's not bad. And there's also a pretty good feeling, you guys know, when you finish your show, you feel like you've accomplished something, right? Like, it's fairly early in the day. Like, I'm going to finish the show. I'll head to the gym. I'll go work out. And then I'll go write for a couple of hours. And at noon, like, you kind of take a breath and you're like, okay, I've done a lot of stuff today. Now, the challenge is, a lot of people are still working all day, so you have to stay plugged in because you're getting emails and things are getting sent to you and everything else. But in terms of your overall productivity, it's a good feeling.
Clay Travis, you can read him on OutkickTheCoverage.com. Listen to him on Fox Sports Radio. We always enjoy having him on the radio program. Follow him on Twitter, @ClayTravis. Clay, always appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Clay.
Hey, I appreciate y'all having me play the over. I'm telling you, it's hitting on Kentucky, Missouri.
Doug, over. Missouri, Kentucky. Thank you, Clay.
Thank you, Clay. 11 o'clock start.
This Saturday, 3 o'clock, by the way, for the South Carolina game the following weekend. Got to see what that over number is. Doug, do you know what the over number is?
Oh, I would think the over number would be 60.
I'm going to guess 51.5. Holy moly. Guess I got to get better prepared for looking at college over unders because they are sometimes this high. 70.5.
Well, I don't know why you would think Missouri can stop anybody. They just lost probably their two best players. And they just gave up 51.
Did you look at the game tape from Middle Tennessee?
Good interview. Yep. I was very premature with my lack of modesty hot take. I'm sorry. The Barnhart Brawler. How about that, Doug?
Okay. It's nice that we can keep the Barnhart Brawler pleased at all times.
I noticed you guys were silent when he said when he gets done with radio, he gets a feeling of accomplishment, yeah. Like he's done something.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys ever get that when we leave here.
No, SMH.
SMH?
What is that?
Shaking my head.
Oh. You get that, Tim?
You know what my life is like right now.
Yes.
You guys in this room know what my life is like right now.
Well, for the listeners at home, you shoot over to places, post and you
up.
Sell in.
Yeah, there's posting,
you
too.
You can post or sell. If you're Tim, right. The options are limitless.
I know.
Nope. But I do love doing the show. 7 to 10, love doing the show.
This show?
Just want to do the show.
Yeah.
I just want to do the show. That's it. That's all, Plowhawk. That's all I want to do.
You want to come to Philly with us for Thanksgiving? Just get away from it all and just drink in
my
family?
No, I love Thanksgiving. I legitimately love Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is my favorite. So that's something I look forward to.
Now, where were you post up there?
Oh, my parents' house.
Oh, sure.
It's my favorite holiday by far.
And you enjoy the roast beast.
I do.
How about the stuffing?
I love the stuffing, as a matter of fact.
Cranberry sauce.
Do you ever treat yourself with really the gravy on the stuffing?
Nah, it's not really my bag.
I like that.
There's nothing wrong with that, though, baby.
No, I like it, too. It seems low-cal.
Tim, you sound like you need a back rub. Give me 20 minutes. I'll be there. It's from the Sad Panda.
I think Iggy and Big Al are back rub specialists.
Hmm, they are. Tim, I'll do all the other work for you so you can just do the show. That's from Stubby Applause.
How about that? From Stubby.
All right, but I'll have to settle for $200,000 a year.
I feel bad for Tim because you guys leave right after the show. Excuse me, Sea Monster or myself, Plowsy are here, and we see what Timmy has to go through in and out of the office, phone call after phone call after phone call. I feel bad.
I agree with it. That's
my,
why
it's my job, though.
So that's why
there's nothing to feel bad about.
No,
it's just what I want to do is just do the show, but because of circumstances, I've over the last 6 years had to operate a station, which I have when it gets down to it, it's not what I want to do. Like Clay talked about writing, I love to write. Stopped writing for InsideSTL.com because I was running myself into the ground. So that was the reason. But I love to write. I love to write. And I'd like to, I would do more radio. I mean, if anything, I'm talking about doing a podcast. But I just do not have time. And I feel terrible about it because I used to, if somebody would text or email, it was like a lock. I would get back to them within a, on a text within 5 minutes unless I'm in a meeting or asleep. And via email for certain within 24 hours and usually much quicker than that. And it's just become, you know, there's just circumstances that, you know, they are what they are.
Well, that's why I apologize. I know you have a lot, but there's a lot of issues that I'll text you about, like the chairs sometimes squeak and some things are unacceptable. And usually once or twice a week, I give you a long list of things that we really need to fix.
Now, Tim, I brought this up. I think I brought this up a few times before. You know, maybe I don't answer your emails and phone calls because there are some things that, you know, are just between you and the business.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, picking up food, laundry, getting that whip cleaned up, etc. I mean, I'm available as an assistant in the afternoon.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, and really? So
you'd be Tim's valet.
You're putting yourself
not
out
necessarily
there.
A valet.
Well, that you just described what a valet would do.
Major domo?
Just like an assistant, you know, get him. Get his grub, you know, so he didn't have to pay for Postmates.
I already got that. I got metabolic meals. I eat poorly on the weekends, but I eat pretty well during the week. That's my move.
How would you like
this? I'm telling you, for those who, just this is a little, because a side thing, because it truly has, like, been super helpful. MyFitnessPal, that app, and if you know, and then that way you can track your proteins, carbs, and fats, and then, of course, your calories. That's the world changer. It's like I heard Roderick talking about how he works out all the time, but he doesn't lose any weight. And then he goes, but I eat terribly. I'm like, well, that's...
Yeah, and often. Early, often.
Kind of like, well, that... But if you really do want to do something, but this is the game changer. And I understand a few years ago it was a lot tougher because you'd have to... It's like playing fantasy sports. Apps and, you know, the ability to access all of that information and then place it is what's made fantasy sports grow as quickly as it has versus back in the day when guys would have to write out all those stats and then send them out and so on and so forth. Well, the same thing with nutrition, you know? And so you can enter in what you ate, and then it gives you not only the caloric intake, but the amount of grams of protein, carbs, and fats. That's a world changer. And if you know how many you're supposed to eat, it's a pretty easy formula, you know, about a gram of protein for how much you weigh. And then approximately, I don't know, 2/3 carbs on the protein grams. And then about 50%, 45% of the fats of whatever that protein number is. You got it made in the shade. And it's just, it's easy, it's as easy as it can be, you know. And it's got nothing to do with what you can afford and so on and so forth. It's just knowing. I think most people would like to do it, but I think there's misinformation out there. That's why MyMetabolicMeals.com is one of my favorite things because they put all of that information on there. But you can have it just by entering it in. It's MyFitnessPal. And I know I talked about it a couple months ago, and I've had a few people say, thank you for telling me about that thing. It's like, it makes it so easy. It's a layup to take care of it. You know, the stuff about, you know, don't eat carbs, that's BS. The stuff about, you know, low fat, then it's going to be higher in carbs. Problem is, it, you know, makes it easier. So there's a little, there's a pro tip.
And there's
so,
a lot of
so we get off of my post 10 o'clock life, which nobody wants to hear about.
But there's a lot of misinformation. Like I've been eating a lot of taco salads from Taco Bell. It's a salad, mm-hmm. So you figure I'm just going
to. Good. You're good. Yeah. Yeah. If there's green involved. You're good.
And then I come to find out that's not the case.
Wow. I just try to stay in shape by wearing out a lot of shoe leather, walking the journalistic beat, breaking stories and protecting sources.
What's the latest story you broke?
It's too big to share now. I call it a November surprise.
Did you break the story that the Blues lost last night?
Had a little something to do with it, yeah.
Tim, may I please carry your child? That's from the Barnhart Brawler. He's okay. Very active today.
Listen, now that is
you know, Tim McKernan is like that. He knows everything.
He doesn't.
Plow Flame, I will be your assistant in assisting Tim. We can rip bowls and do Tim's taxes. That's from Butch Patrick's Werewolf Doll.
That's similar to the Buck Swope show to where Swope talks about this show, breaking down what has already been said on this show. But no, I don't think I need an assistant. I think I can handle Tim's duties on my own.
Okay.
So you would be like Turtle. That's what you would be.
Jerry Ferrara. If you did an audio postcard with him.
I haven't, but I did one with his former girlfriend, Jamie Lynn Sigler.
Oh, you did. We'll have Kelly Chase with you, with us coming up at 9 o'clock. That's brought to you by Petromart Blues last night with the loss. Matthew Tkachuk talked it over, though, what it was like for him to play an NHL game in St. Louis.
Hit the lever,
Walter's Plowsy. Son.
You know, the game was a real fast game. It went by, you know, pretty quickly, not a lot of stoppages. So, you know, it's just, it was another hockey game out there, but really special. Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, try to play my best out there today. And, you know, I tried to put one in for him as much as I can. Came close a couple of times, but didn't bear down like I wanted to tonight. But, no, I'm sure they're happy with how I played.
He played pretty well. He did have a couple of good scoring chances. Glorious, as a
glorious,
player would
I love
say.
That's my favorite thing. Here's Keith Tkachuk, Walter, on his son.
Pulley Plowsy.
Well, obviously, he's put a lot of work in. I don't want to take anything away from him because, you know, he's really done different things over the course of every season to get here. He's moved away at a young age. You know, had a little bit of luck, but at the end of the day, he's the reason why we're here watching him play. And obviously, when you're a parent, you probably pick out things, unlike Chantel, who thinks he's the greatest player alive. You know, we're very happy. At 18 years old, coming in here and playing against a heavy St. Louis Blues team like this, it's nice that he's blending in nicely with his line mates, and he's done a good job of, he's going to make it a very difficult decision, the Calgary Flames, after his 9 games.
Did he say heavy team like the Blues?
Mm-hmm. Here is Chantel Tkachuk, Matthew's mother, Walter's wife, on the difference between watching Matthew and watching Walter when he played.
Hit the lever.
Oh, it's just amazing. It's actually very emotional. It's been an emotional few weeks just having him start this, you know, new venture of his life. And obviously we couldn't be more proud of him and just so excited. Well, it was so weird to come down here dressed in red, for one. But two, I mean, I'm far more nervous with Matthew than I ever was with Keith. But I think, you know, we just feel no control over the situation, which is hard as a parent. But he seems to be doing pretty well for himself.
It's got to be rough for parents to watch that. I mean, I'm sure they're proud, but you got to feel like you're out there with them, an emotional meat grinder.
Yeah, I can't imagine anything more fun than having an 18-year-old kid playing a major professional sport.
Yeah, but then he got mixed up in a little scrum, and I'm sure Big Wall wanted to go down there and straighten things out.
You know.
Hey, thanks a lot, eh?
Hey. Okay, hey. Yeah, boy, what a career he's got ahead of him. He could play for 20 years.
18, right?
He's 18 right now.
We can do this show for another 20 years.
Well, I don't think so.
What?
I don't think we'll live through it.
It's a great poll question.
How much longer will we do the show?
Well, are we on a parallel course with Matthew Tkachuk?
I think so.
Come on, I'm not going to do this 20 years.
What?
I'll be 105 years old in 20 years.
Didn't you
read
your contract?
Yeah, you do need to.
I have to do it another 20 years?
Yep. If you didn't notify me by October 1st, a 20-year renewal period kicks in.
I'll be 105 years old.
There's also a cuddling clause that after you turn 62, Tim gets to cuddle with you at any time.
That can be overturned.
Right, but weekly oral play negates that.
Over
the past 3 decades, almost every team that lost Game 1 of the World Series found it had just dug itself a canyon it couldn't climb out of. I read from Jason Stark. I like that. You could have said 24 of 28 in the last World Series winners won Game 1.
No.
But by saying canyon you can't climb out of, it made it a little more vivid.
Yeah, let's exaggerate everything if we can.
Prisoner of the moment. Although that is, I wonder what the LCS statistics are, you know, on the team that wins Game 1 of the LCSs over the last 20 years. This is a World Series phenomenon. I mean, of course, statistically, the team that wins Game 1 just only has to win 3 more games. The one thing, and I saw Randy Mollman, who has been on our station and also on 920 when we were there, doing the mole hole, and he fills in for Frank every now and again. Great guy, Missouri PA announcer. Tweeting, the one thing that stood out to him last night is that the All-Star game should have zero impact on who gets home field advantage. And that's just something. So this is proving it here, because this is the Cubs that would be the beneficiaries of the overall record having home field advantage. It's just the principle of it, though. It has nothing to do with the Cubs. It's you know, that's an advantage to be at Wrigley Field. Play their game.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't get it, even though they won 103 games. The Indians get it. Why? Because of an exhibition game in the middle of summer. It's just so damn wrong.
So you're in favor of the current system.
God, it just drives me up the wall. It really does. It really pisses me off.
Can't you wait? I mean, it's like the only thing
like sports-wise that I know isn't business-related that like, as well, I mean, it is business-related because I know it's a Fox thing, and I understand it, but it's just, it's like baseball caved on that. It's so hack.
But don't you think at some point it'll be changed? Like every year I think there's going to be some momentum. Where
I thought when Cela got out of there it would, and...
Because I don't know anyone that thinks it's a great solution. In fact, I don't know anyone that thinks it is.
No, they just wanted to make the All-Star game a little bit more appealing.
Because they, and that's a prisoner of the moment reaction.
Because they
had a bad moment where the commissioner of baseball's like, well, we don't know what to do here. We're out of players. So the next year it counts.
Now, I still would disagree with it, but it'd be one thing if both leagues and therefore both ballparks are playing by the same game, but they're not. So it truly is an advantage for the team that's more familiar with that style of the game. I mean, it just statistically is, and it's really just a bad damn thing. It sucks, but whatever.
It's a bad damn thing.
Let's see. The Cubs' not-so-beautiful history when they lose game one of any postseason series. Tuesday's game one loss in Cleveland marked the 14th time the Cubs had lost the opener of any type of series. They went 1-12 in the previous 13. The only time they have lost game one of a postseason series and won the series, Doug, know it?
Last
year.
Yeah.
Against the Cardinals.
Last season. Well, when you lose game one, you're usually losing with your ace. So that doesn't help the situation any. But the Cubs do have solid pitching behind
Lester. Very good pitching.
So I would think if anybody could buck the trend, it might be this Cub outfit.
Are you rooting for the Indians a little bit, for the underdogs?
I really found myself with no rooting interest at all until I started watching some of it last night, and then I kind of wanted the Indians to win.
Yeah, I don't usually have outside rooting, but for some reason I think the Indian story is compelling. Again, it's the Cubs, so I'm inclined not to root for them anyway.
I think the Cubs are probably going to have some more chances down the road here.
Yeah.
Not sure about the Indians. Maybe they will. But that Cub team, I don't think they're going to go away anytime soon.
Well, your pick to click yesterday when we were doing the show was Roberto Perez. I don't know.
Oh, I've liked that kid for a long time. I think I've said that many times here if we go back through the history of the show.
Tim, it never was the best record. That's from the 314. Didn't say it was.
No, they just used to switch off. National, American.
Which also was stupid. Yeah. But, I mean, at least it's more fair.
I guess, but I guess the other argument would be, well, they don't play the same schedule, so to say that the Cubs won 103 is not the same as the Indians if the American League is tougher.
That one blows me away. We don't hear that in the NFL when, you know, Seattle has home field advantage. They didn't play the same schedule as the Panthers.
No, but they play a similar schedule. They play similar teams. Sometimes they play a lot of the same teams.
Well, what is different about the NFL schedule versus Major League Baseball when you're talking about similar teams?
Well, Major League Baseball, an American League team plays almost all American League teams, a handful of interleague games. And in the NFL, they play different divisions. They play AFC teams, play NFC teams all the time.
I think it's a convenient way to justify something that is simply being done for ratings purposes in their television deal with Fox. But, you know, I mean, it's not the first time a deal has been made in order to generate revenue for a sport when it might not be in the best interest of the integrity of the competition. My premise is it has not had any impact whatsoever, and I feel like the All-Star game is even less significant now. It's not like the players are like, we got to lock in. This time it counts. That has not played out that way. I didn't think it would, but it certainly hasn't.
You would think if they went to a most wins system, gets to host it, it would also keep teams from relaxing at the end of the season.
Right.
You know, pulling their star players, not playing hard. Yeah, the integrity of the game would be upheld a little bit, too.
Maybe they should host the World Series at a neutral site like the Super Bowl, Webster Wienpeker. I wouldn't be on board
with
that.
I don't like that.
No, not a good idea. It would help with weather-wise. Wouldn't be such an issue. But how are you going to take the World Series away from the people in Chicago?
No, absolutely. I agree with you there.
We wouldn't want to take away from us.
Hey, ass clown, don't put words in Tim's mouth. That comes from, quote, dad's, quote, business partner.
So we're not sure it's really a business partner.
Right.
It could be something else going
on.
People
are wondering why they spend so much time together.
Yeah,
is what it sounds like.
Traveling together and cutting costs with one hotel room, that kind of thing.
How and why does the All-Star Game home field thing keep getting renewed, and why does the Players Union not stand up to this rule? Mike from Maryland Heights. I don't know if they're that bothered by it.
Yeah, I don't know that it really affects the players' union.
Yeah, I mean, it only affects these two teams. And I'm sure they're picking their battles at the negotiating table, and this isn't one. Tim, Doug dresses slutty for ratings purposes alone, and you don't say anything about that. It's from the 314.
Well, you don't complain about it, that's for sure.
So what? It's hot.
That makes me feel cheap at times.
Still hot. All right, we'll give this text another try over at 101. Thanks, Webster Wienpeter. Think they'll be on board there.
Well, they might read it.
I read it.
Do they read text at 101?
I don't know. I really don't listen. And that sounds like something I would say, but I really don't. And I don't have anything against anybody there, for real. Like, for 100% real at all. If anything, I like the people I know there,
mm-hmm.
for real again. But
and they do a good job.
It's a different style of thing that I'm interested in. Just like I'm quite certain what we do is a different thing than what they're interested in. But I don't like hold ill will about it. You know. When bottoming, are you normally on all fours or on your back, Doug? Thanks. That's
who was
Dr. Doggy style.
Doctor, you've been suspended. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time. Your name is going into the leather-bound Llewellyn's Pub suspension logule.
Doug, can you recommend a home remedy to get pee stains out of a wedding dress? Thanks, 573.
Oh. I would take it to be dry cleaned. Yeah. I don't think there is a home remedy necessarily.
If 101 does take texts, I would guarantee they're not like that.
Yeah. I would agree with that myself.
Has there ever been a Super Bowl where the host city is also playing in the game? Just a curious fan. That's from the Creve Core Cutie. The 49ers played in Palo Alto, but it was not their home stadium, if I am not mistaken. And I think maybe the Rams played in Pasadena in 79 against the Steelers.
Yeah, that'd be close. The Dolphins
that wasn't their home stadium.
The Dolphins might have played one at the Orange Bowl.
Although
I'm not sure about that.
It's never a neutral site is ridiculous for a 7-game series, and the two fan bases that have followed these teams suddenly have to travel. That makes no sense.
That'll never happen. That'll never happen. I hope.
Guys, early erection results are in, and Doug is giving me one. Thanks. Who? Engine Joe's Cave Ride.
Engine Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man has been suspended, fellas. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time.
Engine Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man, I think, is a 16-year-old, 17-year-old?
No, 50-something. I've seen him.
At our fundraiser, he gave a nice donation, too, didn't he?
Yes, he did, but it doesn't excuse his behavior today, no, does it?
I don't think it does. Doug, this is Adam.
Oh, great.
Is Tim there?
He's here. Go ahead. He can hear you now, Adam.
Tim, do you know Backstreet Boys are coming to Vegas next year?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, they're doing like a residence?
Yeah, just for a couple shows. They're going to be there in March, though, for my birthday. And we're going to go. And I figured who better to ask on, like, what's the best way to get there? Where's the best place to stay?
Well, I would suggest Southwest nonstops. There are a number of them to and from St. Louis to Las Vegas, and then
Treasure Islands, where you always stay.
The Treasure TI is what the kids are calling it mm-hmm. these days. My recommendation for a hotel, the best of the best that I have stayed in, the absolute best that I've stayed mm-hmm. in, is the Wynn/Encore. But I always stay at the Palazzo. But the best hotel room is the Wynn/Encore.
What's like the average price per night though for those places?
It depends on what time of year you're going out there, because sometimes you can get them super cheap, but if it's like a busy time or there's a big convention, then they're even if it's a crappy hotel, the rooms are super expensive, so it depends on when you're going out there. And it sounds like there'll be millions in town for the Backstreet Boys residence.
Okay. Well, if you have any more information, you can text or call me.
What about a place to eat? Tim knows that, too.
Mm.
Motown Philly's back again. Doing a little East Coast swing. Timmy Bishop. Voice of men going off. Not too hard, not too soft.
Nice. Oh, he just got shot. Someone had enough.
That seemed like a flint gun, too.
An old-fashioned, like what the Patriots must.
Doug, that was the 1991... album Coolie High Harmony.
Was it?
Yep. Okay. Michael Bivins.
I didn't recognize the tune.
Michael Bivins.
I wonder how many people went and saw Ween last night.
Oh, they were in town, were they?
Yeah, ignored every phone call we made.
Dean Ween did? Or Gene Ween?
It's the Dean Ween group. I think Gene's out.
Mm. Poor Gene.
That's
he
what
did
I was
not
told.
Have that coming.
No, we try to get somebody back. We try to get our I-team backstage before the show. We try to get them on the show to promote the show. I've never met a band that wants no promotion whatsoever.
Well, didn't we look them up and the Ween Brothers are worth like millions and millions of dollars? Yep. That'll make you not really care about jumping on an AM sports talk radio.
Well, maybe you'll think next time when you have a couple hundred people show up at your event, and it could have been a thousand.
Where was the event?
Pageant, I guess?
What? Delmar Hall, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tim, don't forget there are no more nonstops from St. Louis to Las Vegas. You must gas up in Wichita and pick up a Whopper. Thanks. That's from Chunk of the Chuck. I got a nonstop on Friday.
Sure you did, with no Whopper.
No. This Friday, baby.
That's pretty inexpensive to Vegas, right?
Yeah, it can be if you book it at far out enough, you know.
Because we're booking Thanksgiving and...
Are you fit to go, Philly?
Oh, man, it's expensive.
Really? Yeah, but I mean, that's great. The time of the year. Just going for the weekend. Just a quick hit. But, hey, Seamonster, I guess Charlie's traveling for the World Series, so Charlie was going to fill in for me on Monday, but I don't know if he's going to be around now. If there's a... What would that be? Game 5 in Chicago the night before. Seamonster's listening.
He's tuned us out.
I like that that Fox 2 is there for me with World Series coverage.
Now, are you saying that to compliment Fox 2, or are you trying to in a roundabout way?
What do you think, Tim?
What? I just appreciate...
It's on their air.
I appreciate a news operation that isn't afraid to spend a little cash to provide coverage for the viewers.
Well, the games are on their air, so the rest of us couldn't even show what's going on while it was
on the air. Yeah, but you could be
on
the parking lot doing a live.
Yeah, that never stopped you before.
Well, if it's here in town, we would do just that. But if it's going somewhere else, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense when the game is on another channel for you to be standing in the parking lot.
Well, they're talking about moving Game 3 to St. Louis.
I hadn't heard that at all.
They haven't mentioned that yet.
Tim, I have a nonstop to Boston next week. I'm blessed. Thanks. That's from Prod Joe's more popular MMF. Mm. Yeah, you can get a nonstop out of St. Louis anywhere domestically, I think. They just aren't real common.
Do you spend the extra money to get that early bird on Southwest?
I'm A-list preferred. It's built in, bitch. It's built in.
Okay.
And then I got the companion pass is the greatest thing ever. What's that? I bring us to fly for free with me. You know, friends fly free.
How many flights do you have to have before that kicks in?
It's a combination of how many flights and then credit card points or whatever the hell it is.
But it's probably a lot of flights, isn't it?
Yeah.
10 or 12?
I would think more than that.
Boy, if you ever want to raise money for a good cause, you could raffle off being Tim's companion for one of his trips to Vegas.
To go for free with him.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Mm.
He's a treasure chest. He's A-list preferred.
Preferred. Yeah. Preferred.
You ever think about taking one of your fans with you to Vegas, Tim?
I would love to do a trip to Vegas with the listeners, yes. Not just one-on-one.
Oh, that's what I was talking about.
I can help you with that, because when I go to Vegas, everything comes.
Guys, are you members of the Mile High Club? I'm sure Tim is, but you other two, no way. Thanks. That's from a big old fan.
Well, I think you nailed that one right on the head.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't even see the draw of that outside of just to say you did it, but like, who gives a damn?
I've read articles.
You did it anyway.
I've read articles that that's a big problem on planes, is people trying to have sex. Flight attendants don't know how to deal with it or struggle to deal. I've never seen anything like that. What am I just missing it? What's the appeal?
I truly don't know. Iggy, have you done this? It sounds like if anybody in the room is going to have done it, it's you, not me.
You don't need the Mile High. I mean, if you're on a flight where it's not packed and you're in the back of the plane and they've kind of turned the lights out,
a little reverse cowgirl situation?
No, a little blanket right over and a little handy.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not coitus.
No, it's not
research.
Coitus. It's not coitus. I don't know how you could have coitus in that little bathroom.
That's what I'm saying.
And it's gross in there.
It is. I mean, it takes forever. If some guy goes in, even a chick goes in there and has a recreational, it doesn't go anywhere. It stays in there for a while.
It's hot.
Doug is pro.
It isn't that hot.
Doug, you're pro taking care of that sort of business on a plane.
No, very much anti.
Boy, I'll tell you. You know when that happens, too.
Plus, there's been stories of those.
I mean, it's got a life of about 12 rows, too.
God bless America.
And there's every now and then you read stories about those suction toilets just literally sucking the rectum right out of an unfortunate gentleman.
What?
I haven't heard that one.
That's happened on boats and planes. Yeah, because it's that suction toilet, and if you stay down on it and you've got some looseness happening, it's been known to suck the rectum right down there.
Well, I'll tell you, Veronica Avlov, better stay away from the inside restroom.
Yeah.
Hold on. You're saying this is a known
you
thing.
You don't want that.
I think this is like the Loch Ness Monster. No way.
You Google that, you will not find one story.
Oh, I think you will.
How loose does a rectum have to be to go down a toilet?
Oh, it could be prolapsed.
Are you making that up, Doug?
Prolapsed rectum, that's serious stuff there.
Clip that off again.
My ass hurts! See, yeah, you'd be screaming that long before they got you off of there.
Me and Mrs. Bubbles are down to go to Vegas with you, Tim. Thanks. That's from Bubbles.
Wasn't he already there?
Well, you can return. I was there 3 weeks ago, and I'm going back.
But wasn't he there in the same restaurant? And
oh no, that was Paul.
Oh, Paul. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Everybody I play golf with and follows me to Las Vegas, I guess. Doug, you have a problem with that?
Well, a little. It's kind of eliminating.
Wait a minute. You're finding this the cat? Oh, no. Oh, my God.
The last report, according to Google, March 6, 1987, a 70-year-old woman had her intestines sucked out by a vacuum toilet in a bizarre accident aboard a cruise ship last September.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Holy moly.
That'd be uncomfortable, wouldn't it?
That's like the way that Mel Gibson went out in Braveheart, isn't it?
And there's probably some who don't report it.
Was that The Onion or The Mirror?
The cat, is this a credible source here? What do you got?
No, that was United Press International back in 1987. Mm-hmm. That was...
Yeah, you don't want that.
Hey, Doug, quick question for you. Let's say you're in a recreational situation in a public restroom and there are other occupants and not everything's cleared out after the first flush. Do you double flush or try and sneak on out?
No, you always double flush. You flush as long as you have to. What do you mean sneak on out?
Like there's somebody monitoring the recreational situation in there. It's somebody's gig. Doug, you are effing disgusting. You will never bottom for me again. That's from the 314.
I'm just reporting what I've read.
Yeah, face teeth.
Yeah, hey, Doug, you said, going back to your comments on, yeah, I agree, Tim's all the way. That's where it started with the All-Star game and, the stupid, how they set it up for baseball, but no, Doug, you said the NFL, the AFC plays the NFC way more. I looked at it, they only play the other conference four times. And in the MLB, I like the Cardinals played 20 games. I'm not a percentage guy like Tim, but
16%, baby. 16%.
Four times 25% of your schedule.
Right? I got that one. Thanks.
All right. That's quite a bit of your schedule, isn't it?
Yeah, well, then the Cardinals played 20 American League teams this year. So, what do you got on that?
16.5%.
Pretty close, I guess. Yeah. 9%. 8.5. 8.5 off. Still, I think I agree, though, Tim, that the scheduling is retarded, and that's all I would say. I'm not going
to face teeth. Are you
some help on that?
Face teeth, would you consider yourself a Tim Lemming?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. No,
you gather then.
Well, don't be a stranger, face teeth.
Playing 100.
I didn't like your reasoning on that.
But the reason is correct because you're playing 142 games against your league. 142 against your league that the other team's not playing against.
Yeah. Well.
And it could come down to one victory. It could come down to one victory.
Dumb. All right. Thanks, Doug.
All right. This is a bad call.
I like face teeth. It's a good name. No one knows percentages like Tim.
Well, that's not really tough math.
Yeah, I got the 25% one just right out of the chute.
Yeah.
Speaking of chute...
My math actually might have been wrong now that I think about it. So what did he say? It was 20 out of 162?
162.
So that would be one-eighth.
It's one-eighth.
That would be like 12%.
Yeah, 12.5%. So screw me. Yeah, so it's exactly half of what the NFL's is. But I just disagree with that premise in general. But if you're trying to equate the math, that doesn't really bolster your argument. I'm against it in general. And also against women's intestines getting sucked out on planes.
Oh, I've been against that. I've been anti that from the get-go.
Can I...
We got another one?
Yeah. This is from Lifestyle on AOL. Myth, flushing while sitting... of all the laboratory legends, hold on.
Nurse? Nancy?
It wasn't that much of it a myth to the gal that had that intestine problem.
It said, of all the legends, this seems to have the most traction. We see all the powerful vacuum suction which airplane toilets do their business and do away with yours. Reuters once reported that a female passenger had filed a complaint against Scandinavian Airlines about being stuck to the seat. Mm. This was later discovered to be fictitious. The wildest variation claims your intestines could be hoovered. That would certainly suck, but just ain't going to happen. Mm. This is the Lifestyle Report.
Since we talk about rogue shrubs a lot, what happens to your pubes in that situation?
That's a great question.
They'd go right down with them.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah. I
wasn't for sure.
Sure they would. You don't want any of that. You don't want any of that.
But the one was UPI. This was on a cruise ship. It was a legitimate news story that the woman had her intestines sucked out of her.
Doug, I just received this from St. Louis University high school coach Gary Kornfeld.
Okay.
Sent to my phone.
Sure.
Okay, enough is enough on this paving on 44. They completely redid Highway 40 quicker than this paving of 3 miles on 44. Please put Doug on this. He will get her done.
Oh,
is something you'd like to take down for Coach Kornfeld?
Yeah.
He's wrapping up his final year at the university high school. I think this would be a nice going away present.
Yeah. I'll work on it. It gets me at night. When I drive home late at night, it gets me westbound. In fact, one night, I think I told you, some big trucker or equipment device lost a tire, and I hit my front grill and did like $3,500 worth of damage to me whip. Nice. Yeah, so I'm bitterly disappointed about this.
Since Corny's listening, I'll say it again.
Corny,
say Corny. How I well cannot, do you know him?
We went to high school together.
You did?
Really?
Brentwood High School.
Same class?
And no, he was older than me.
And
I can't believe
him Corny?
I can't believe he's not in the Brentwood High School Hall of Fame.
But you are.
And I will be nominating him in 2 years.
Nice. Who is in charge of the Brentwood Hall of Fame?
Some people.
Well, I need more than that.
Well, why? You answer. Wouldn't know their name if I told you.
Well, I just wondered why he didn't get in.
Ed Wright Sr.?
Do you think Ed Wright Rich Jr. Harper? Will eventually be in there?
He was the former mayor of Brentwood. He may already be in.
Did you get a nice placard for getting inducted?
I got a medal.
A medal?
I think they heard me bitching on the air that I wasn't getting a ring or anything, and I think they went out and they bought medals for everybody.
Huh.
And do you have it displayed proudly at your cage?
Hanging on my wall underneath nice. My Gaga picture and my Tim on the Green picture.
Pretty special area. In the house.
Tim on the Green. Isn't that like a restaurant right off Central Park?
Tavern on the Green. Tavern on the Green.
Okay. Don't we got a break. Kelly Chase joining us on the other side of the break, brought to you by Petromart. It's next on the Ryan Kelly Morning After.